The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you.
When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising, and we have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go, search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may go and do him homage." After their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star. And on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
I have not had the opportunity to wish you all a new year yet. So I hope that you're ringing in 24 well and saying goodbye to 23. Today we celebrate the Epiphany. And that's, of course, the story that we just heard, the story of the Magi coming to visit Jesus and Mary. And you may not realize it, but this particular story is only found in the Gospel of Matthew. It's not in any of the other Gospels. You'll find it nowhere else in the Bible. Now, why do you suppose that we would find the story here and nowhere else? I guess there's several reasons. Matthew, of course, is taking his narrative and he's tying it back to that prophecy of Isaiah that we heard in the first reading, because his audience is mainly a Jewish audience. That's who he's writing to. And he wants to tie that back to Old Testament prophecy. That's important for his readers. I think also he wants his readers to reflect on Herod's efforts to kill Jesus as a child at the very beginning of his gospel. And then he wants them to compare that to the crowd's choice of Barabbas at the end of his gospel. You know, when they choose Barabbas over Jesus. So he's using those kind of as bookends. These two events are bookends. But there's one more point that Matthew might be making here. I think he's showing his readers that everybody who encounters Jesus must make the same choice that Magi and Herod made. Will I accept him or reject him? And the fact that Matthew, in the first few pages of his gospel, he contrasts Herod against the Magi, that's something that we should not overlook. That's something that we should pay attention to. Now, Matthew, he doesn't tell us all that much about the Magi. For instance, we don't know exactly where they came from. We just know they're from the east. And we don't know how many there were, just that there were three gifts. And we can't even really say what happened to them after they left Mary and Jesus. They're never mentioned again in the sermon. So they came from the east, following a star, searching for the newborn King of the Jews. And the Magi had no idea where that star would take them. They didn't know what their final destination would be, and they couldn't anticipate what they would find at the end of their journey. They didn't know it would end up in Bethlehem. You see, the journey to Jesus was for the Magi the same as it is for all of us. It was unpredictable. It was uncharted. It was unknowable. Their lives, like our lives, had to unfold. But still, in spite of all their uncertainty, when they saw the star rise, they followed it. And when they finally encountered the Christ child, well, they had a choice to make. Would they walk away, wondering why they had traveled for so long and for so far, only to find a poor young mother in a small house with an infant son? Or would they prostrate themselves on the floor and worship? They must have been very tempted to walk away. I can only imagine how strange all of this must have been for them. They had listened to a prophecy that they didn't really understand. They had waited years looking for a star. And then when they saw it, they followed it, not knowing where they were headed. They went looking for a newborn king of the Jews. And of course, they stopped at the royal palace, a place that you would expect to find the newborn king. Only to be told, no, he's not here. We haven't seen him. Let us know if you hear anything. Very strange response indeed. Just think of the doubt and the confusion that they must have experienced during their journey. Yet they persevered. And in the end, they chose God. They chose to worship an infant and defy a king. Why? Why do you suppose they did that? Did it have something to do with what Mary told them about the birth of our Lord? Certainly, when they arrived, she told them that story, but it was more than just that. There was the signs and the stars and the bits and the pieces of prophecy they had heard or they had read, the information that they had gathered at Herod's palace, and that long road that they had traveled. You know, they put that all together and they made a choice to worship and adore the child rather than walk away. And that is a choice that we all must make every day of our lives. Will we walk away or will we worship? Everyone who encounters Jesus has to decide that for themselves. And you know, some choose Jesus and some choose to walk away. Jesus tells the apostles, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And they follow him. Jesus tells the woman at the well, go and sin no more, and she follows him. And when Jesus corrects Zacchaeus, the tax collector, what's he say? I will give half of all my money to the poor and return four times what I have taken unjustly. For all these people, his ways become their ways. But not for everyone. Like I said, some choose not to follow. Remember the story of the rich young man who Jesus says, go and sell all that you have and then come follow me? We're told the young man went away sad because he had much wealth. Or how about the people who are mentioned in the sixth chapter of John, who cannot accept Jesus' words, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will have no life in you. They just could not accept his teaching on the Eucharist, and we're told they followed him no more. Clearly, when we encounter Jesus, there is no middle ground. You're for him or you're against him. Now, this time of year is a time of year where we tend to reflect on what we've done and what we've left undone. For many of us, it's a time of year when we resolve to make new choices, better choices for our lives. And often these choices are centered on the spiritual aspects of life. So maybe there's somebody here today who says, you know, it's a new year and I want a new start in life. So they made the choice to come here today to see what this is all about. Or maybe there's others that have been away for a long time, and now they've made the choice to return to their faith. Maybe they found themselves suddenly back in the pews at Christmas time, and they were trying to remember the prayers that they used to know by heart, and they feel a little bit out of place, and they're wondering, am I going to fit in? Or maybe some of you are here every Sunday, but you're just starting to wake up to the fact that you've been on autopilot for years, and you've never really made a choice about your faith. You just kind of let it happen. Who knows? Maybe there's even some faith-filled Catholics here that are on fire for the Lord. There's a few of you out there, I'm sure. Hands? No? Okay. I'm just kidding. There's many of you out there. I know it. I know this parish. But whatever the case may be, you know, it's okay. Because the most important thing is, like the Magi, you made the trip. You're all here. No matter where you fit into those categories, you're here. And for whatever reason, you chose Jesus. But the choice can't end there. The fact is that like the Magi, we're all pilgrims. We're on a journey. So we make the choice. But after that choice, the question becomes, where is the journey going to take us? And who are we going to bring along? How you answer that question is just as important as the choice to follow Jesus in the first place. Because if you're not willing to let him lead you where he wants you to go, and you're not willing to help others along the way to pick them up and carry them if necessary, then what's the point of being here in the first place? Now, I'm glad that you're here today. Father is glad that you're here today. Jesus is more glad than both of us put together. And we hope that you make that choice for the rest of your life. We hope you make it again and again and again and again. But that takes effort. It takes conviction. It takes a plan. So what are you going to do to make that happen? What will you change in your life so that you consistently become more like the Magi and less like Herod? Are you willing to put down your remote and pick up your Bible and study it like the Magi? Will you continue your journey when times get tough, you know, when things get a little stale and the spiritual life goes hard, just like the Magi continued their journey? Are you willing to defy whatever stands in your way and gets in between you and Jesus? Because that's what the Magi did. Will you become more committed to the sacramental life of the church? Will you become more engaged in your parish and helping others on their journey? Whatever you do, know this. The journey starts here. This is the first step. But showing up for Mass 1 hour a week, well, that's a great start. But it's only a start. Because being in this place at this time is the beginning of the trip, not the end. The finish line is in heaven. And if you trust in Jesus and you do what he tells you, if you let him lead you where he wants you to go, he'll get you there. Jesus, I trust in you.